My wife tells me we've been here since November 14th, 2010, in this building, which means this is our 12th Thanksgiving here. And I know that I've stuck with where we are in Scripture each time, and I've put a little bit of thanks into the message wherever we were, and we would have been in Exodus 35 tonight. But I wanted to do a message specifically on thanks and specifically Thanksgiving. That's where we're going to be tonight, and I'm going to be jumping around in Scripture, and if you can follow me, great. If you can't, you know I'm going to read it. The U.S. is the most blessed country on the face of the earth. I think we all know that. I think one of the reasons why there's a planned takedown of the United States is because we are so blessed and because we're the one thing standing in the way of the world, one world order right now. But according to the World Factbook, the U.S. has the largest, most technically powerful economy in the world. We have 25% of the entire world's total output. And until the present resident, let's call him that, the U.S. had surpassed the goods and the services produced by the three major closely economic other countries to them, other economic powerhouse countries, China, Japan, and Germany combined, believe it or not. We are blessed. We have an abundance of natural resources. We have wheat, we have corn, we have all kinds of grains, we have other, different kinds. We have cattle, poultry, dairy products, fish, forest products. Now, you might think of that. See, we take this for granted. We do have all this. Other countries don't have all of that. They may have some of those. They may have one of those. We've got them all. We really do. Many of them don't. The land here is rich. It's fertile. We're blessed with favorable climate mostly. I mean, as far as growing seasons and that, we have a good climate. We really do. We have precious stones and minerals. We have gold, silver, copper, and nickel in the ground here. We have the greatest coal reserves in the entire world. Why we're not tapping into those like we should is obviously a plan to ruin the country. I don't want to get off on that side of it. I'm here to accentuate the thanks, but first I want to build this up a little bit. So again, we have the largest coal reserves. We would not need any oil from anywhere else either for 400 years if we tapped our own. Trump proved that. In a competitive world economy where energy is vital, it's a vital component to sustained growth, the United States could be energy sufficient right now. We were not that long ago. We had proven oil reserves of 38 million barrels. Wow, that's a lot, isn't it? 12 trillion cubic meters of natural gas reserves. We are the leading industrial power in the world, highly diversified, technologically advanced. For us to be more technologically advanced than Israel, I would say because it's the abundance of it. Israel leads in cutting-edge technology sometimes, but with us, it's like, you know how America is, quantity. We are definitely surpassing everybody else, diversified in technology and so on. Many U.S. firms are at or near the forefront in technological advances, especially in computers, medical, aerospace, and military equipment, if we stop giving it away. In every one of these areas, there's a lot of corruption. We know that. Truly advanced technology is actually being withheld worldwide, believe it or not. There's technology we could have that they're not telling us about where we would be decades ahead of where we are now. They're keeping it from us. I think a lot of us know this. But here's the point. Why is the United States so blessed? Why are we so blessed as a nation? I know that we've been maybe the number one country in the world that has pumped out the gospel, for one thing. We have. We've gone all over the world. We are to a point now where I remember a Chinese missionary coming and teaching us and telling us that the Chinese envision a day where they're going to go around the world and they're going to have to come back to the United States to re-evangelize the United States. But we've gotten the gospel out there like no other nation. So anyways, why are we so blessed like no other nation in the world? Initially, the pilgrims fled religious oppression in Europe. We know this. And they sailed to America in 1620. They were led by Governor William Bradford, the whole crew. Those early settlers arrived to a horrible New England winter. It was devastating, something they weren't really ready for. It nearly decimated their colony. In the summer of 1621, 56 people survived out of the original 103 of the Plymouth Colony. So they organized a three-day feast. They could have gotten all bummed out and said, forget it. We came over here to serve God and you wiped half of us out. Nope. They had a three-day feast. They gave thanks for a bountiful harvest. They had corn, they had barley, they had other fruits and vegetables. And during the decades that followed, the people of the 13 colonies observed planned Thanksgiving days and thanks for things like, for many reasons, but the Continental Congress declared several days of Thanksgiving for the victories that they had during the American Revolution. When it issued this proclamation on October 11th, 1782, the proclamation, it said this, "It being the indispensable duty of all nations, not only to offer up their supplications to Almighty God, the giver of all good, for his gracious assistance in a time of distress, do hereby recommend to the inhabitants of these states in general to observe Thursday, the 28th day of November next, as a day of solemn thanksgiving to God for all his mercies, for his goodness, by a cheerful obedience of his laws." In 1789, in the first year of his presidency, General George Washington issued a precedent-setting proclamation on Thanksgiving Day as well, which today is followed by his successors. They all follow this, which says this, "Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of the states to the service of the great God in thanks for his glorious being, who is the beneficent author of all that was, that is, for all the good that was and that is and that will be." Now, President Abe Lincoln, this guy, you could see it on his face if you see pictures of this guy. He lost every single race for years and years and years, congressmen, all those things. Finally, he won one. He ends up president. And I find that it's divine intervention that this man ran this country at the time that he did. This guy had backbone, man. This guy really knew the Lord. It almost crushed him to be the president at that time. He had so many enemies. The country was divided. You know, we see that today. We look at our country today and we think, has it ever been this bad? Yep. And Lincoln, he didn't have all the things, you know, that we have. You know, so many different things going on in our society today, but this man had so much going on that he issued to the next Thanksgiving Day proclamation on October 3rd, 1863. The country was deep into a bloody civil war, and it was splitting people apart. We see families divided over, get the shot, don't get the shot. It's a conspiracy. There's really no COVID. Republican, Democrat split over so many issues. The country was deeply divided. There's a bloody civil war. It got so divided. Countless lives were lost. Lots of property was destroyed. Families were split up and separated. So Lincoln, he believed that the conflict was punishment from God on our nation for how wicked we were. How wicked, this is back then, how wicked the country was. He thought, well, we're being punished. So, and he was a tough man. I admire this guy. He said, "The year that has been drawing toward its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are constantly enjoyed, that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added, which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart, which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God." So having said all of this, think of the country back then, and actually he didn't get into the bloodshed and the families split up. He just wanted to talk about God, the good things. I find that if we talk more about the good things that are going on, right now everybody's talking about the bad thing. We need to accentuate the good things, because one of the things Satan does is he wants to take away the fact that we're thankful, because being thankful is part of your spiritual health. It's healthy to be thankful, to give thanks. And when we look around and we think there's not a lot to give thanks for, we're pretty dumb as Americans if we say that, because we've got it better than 95% of the world. But I believe that thanksgiving has its roots and its meaning in the Bible. Do you ever wonder why thankfulness is so important? It's important for you to give thanks. It's healthy. It's important sometimes to thank someone else for their health. Now, as a Christian, you should not ever expect thanks. You know that? If you're one of those people that you throw out what you've done so you can get thanked for it, or get credit for it, or get noticed for it, you're not getting a reward for that, okay? I mean, think about it. Because as Christians, we should not expect to be thanked. Now, it's okay to thank people. It is. You're not going to steal their reward. You won't. But don't expect it, or don't revel in it. Don't revel in it. Somebody's thanking you. Thanksgiving toward God for His many blessings and His perfect love manifested on us is a common theme in the Bible. We see it all through the Bible. Matter of fact, you have to whittle a message down like this to fit it in tonight. There's so much on thanks. We could take the words praise and honor and worship and throw thanks in there, and it means the same thing. Why do we worship Him? It's an act of thanks, isn't it, really? It's because He's so majestic and everything. But how good is it to get thanked? Let's say you did something for your wife and she just didn't notice, you know, and she never noticed it. It might cause friction, you know, but then on the other hand, we're not to expect, if we're Christians, we're not to expect it. But I'm just saying, how good is it to get thanked? But here's my point. Don't you think that God enjoys it? No one has done more for us. No one loves us more. What has He not given us? You could thank God for hours and hours and hours. I know my favorite times of prayer is when I just sit down and think of all the things I'm thankful for. It takes a long time. He'll bring up things you forgot about. Answered prayer, you forgot. So many things to be thankful for in our nation. I'm thanking Him all the time. I'll get through 10 minutes and something happened and I'm like, thank you, Jesus, all day long. Thank you, Jesus. Even that things are going smooth, that they worked out, that this is going good and that happened and this person's doing well. And I mean, all day long I'm thanking Him. I think we should all do that. I know you do that. Think of what God has set up. For example, ancient Israel observed 7 periods known as feasts, as we know, or holy days, which centered on the 3 main harvests. You know, they were thankful for harvests. You know, if Steve's here, he grew up as a farmer. Those guys worked hard. I mean, they worked hard. And they were thankful for the soil being good and for the weather being right and the rain when it came and that the work got done. And I mean, it's a long day and it's a hard day. And they were very thankful. And we see in the Bible lots of farming pictures used. And they were very thankful. So anyways, they're set up around 3 main harvests. One of the central themes of the days of Thanksgiving is the acknowledgement that the eternal God makes our lives possible. He gives life. Listen, I was thinking about this today. Job was one of those guys who said, just like you when you were 8 and you had a bad day, I wish I was never born. Remember those days? Well, I thought about that, and maybe if you were never born, yeah, sure, and that you would never exist, you'd never be hurt, you'd never be rejected, but you would never know God. You would never know eternal paradise in God's presence. It's amazing that you made it, that you were the one who made it, and that you're here, and that you're going, and now you're born again and you're going to heaven too. He gave us life, and then He gave us eternal life. But as the Creator, have you ever thanked God for creation? You ever drive through, wasn't yesterday a beautiful day? Today was a beautiful day, wasn't it? I mean, a guy stopped me today. I was cleaning off the truck a little bit. He looks at me and he goes, isn't today a great day? I go, for November. Yeah, right. I mean, I didn't know this guy. We were just kind of talking. But do you ever thank God for creation? Thank you for the flowers and the trees. And I don't know, I get off on this stuff. I do. But He's the Creator. And I think to thank Him for what He's created is so important. So He makes our lives possible as Creator. And He's the source of our prosperity and our wealth. You know, we saw Job get taken through a lesson where everything was taken away, but at the end he had more than he started with because he started to pray and he started to worship and he gave it up to the Lord and he surrendered. The Lord really broke the guy. But anyway, the actual word thanksgiving or thanks or its plural is found 30 times in the King James Version, thanksgiving anyway, 9 of which occur in the New Testament. And we're going to be moving around a bit, but 2 Corinthians 4:15, I understand if you can't keep up. I know sometimes I go too fast. But 2 Corinthians 4:15 says this. Paul writes, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God." That's a deep verse because Paul actually realized that the more he suffers, the more the grace of God was made available to others. Okay, the more people who were saved, the more thanksgiving ascended to God too. And the more thanksgiving that ascended to God, the more God was glorified. So the spirit of that verse, paraphrased, we might say, these sufferings of ours are for your benefit. And the more who are one to Christ, the more there are to thank him for his great kindness, and the more the Lord is glorified. Now, a few pages to the right, 2 Corinthians 9:11, Paul says, "Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God." So, giving generously to those in need causes two good things to happen. First, through those gifts given to those who need them, God meets their needs. And here it's the needs of the Christians in Jerusalem, this specific instance. Second, the recipients of these generous gifts will joyfully express their thanksgiving in God, or they should. And it is true. This has happened to you. You've been blessed, and you turn around and you praise God for it. These are simple things, but we take a lot of this for granted. Think about this, Philippians 4:6. We know this prayer really well. Philippians 4. Be careful for nothing. Are you worried about anything tonight? See, we read God's word, don't we? We read it, we read it, we read it, we believe it, we trust it. Well, he's saying, be careful for nothing. Who's worried tonight? Quit worrying. Somebody in here is worried. But in everything, by prayer and supplication or humble petition, with thanksgiving. You notice this? He's saying, you're going to sit down to pray. You're going to request God. You're going to petition God. You're going to talk to God. Do it. Mix thanks in there. Put thanks in that prayer. In other words, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Don't just throw up all these requests. Put thanksgiving in there, but be serious about it. Everything means everything. Do we make requests without thanksgiving? I know I have. I know we can. This is also saying that there's nothing too great or too small for his loving care. So notice again that our requests should be made known to God with thanksgiving. And we can summarize this verse as saying that we should be anxious in nothing, prayerful in everything, and thankful for anything. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So thanksgiving for the blessings of Christianity is a great antidote for the poison of false doctrine. As you get bombarded with spiritual warfare, just sit down and start thanking God. Watch what happens. It kind of goes away. If you're wondering about false doctrine and so on, sit down and thank God for what you do know and ask him to teach you what's false, what's wrong, what's true. I've been on a quest since, I don't know how long, I guess I was talking to Steve about this earlier, at 16, I wanted to know the truth about everything because there were so many conspiracy theories and I knew we were being lied to back then. And once I really gave my heart to Christ, I'm like, Lord, I just want to know nothing but the truth. I don't want to believe for a second anything that's false. But giving thanks for what he's revealed to us too. Thanksgiving for the blessings of Christianity. Again, it's a great antidote for the poison of false doctrine. I don't remember who this was, but a guy paraphrased verse 7 as this: be like trees, fast rooted, like buildings, steadily rising, feeling his presence about you, and even, for to this has your education led up to, even unshaken in your faith and overflowing with thanksgiving. In other words, to me, it's like growing. As you grow, don't forget to give thanks. You will grow even more if you give thanks. I've always said that thanks to the Lord opens big doors. To approach him with thanks helps come into his presence, doesn't it? I don't think we should ever come into his presence without thanking him first, that we can actually do that. We'll get to that in a minute too. A couple pages to the right again, Paul says, pray. And then in Colossians 4, verse 2, he says, continue in prayer. Continue. That word is, do not stop, ever. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So not only are we to be thankful for past answers to prayer, but in faith we can also thank the Lord for prayers he has not answered. You ever done that? We were in Canada. We were there 7 years. We planted a church, and I was praying, you know, Lord, let us stay here and see this really take off and flourish and so on. And he kept telling me about 7 years, and I thought, in 7 years, here we go. Well, in 7 years, he moved us back. He had something else in mind, and another guy took over. And since then, another guy's taken over, and now they have what they really needed as a Canadian pastor. And it's a nice little fellowship and all that and everything. But I was thanking him for not answering that prayer, because as you know, the whole COVID thing, if we were in Canada, it would have been horrible. I'm glad we're not there. I'm glad we're back here. I love this country and I love you guys and all that. The Lord had a different idea. But we can also thank the Lord for prayers he has not answered yet. And we can be thankful that he knows when to answer and he knows how to answer better than we might even imagine. His love wants the best for us. His wisdom knows what's best for us. And his power gets the best for us. I like that. His wisdom knows what's best. His power gets the best. 1 Timothy 4, Paul writes that the Holy Spirit in latter times, through the Holy Spirit, he has said that in the latter times, some actually shall depart from the faith, listening to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You know what? This started right away. This has been going on since. But I believe this is worse than ever right now. Right now. Seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy. I can't think of any word right now that means more to me than the word lies. Because it's just like, does anybody tell the truth anymore? Speaking lies and hypocrisy. And then he continues, he says, forbidding marriage and abstaining from meats that God created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. So God himself instituted marriage, and he did this before sin ever even entered the world. There's nothing unholy about marriage, and when false teachers forbid marriage, they're attacking what God has ordained. He's saying you should be thankful for marriage. I hope everybody in here is thankful for their spouse. We should be thankful for marriage. Nothing unholy about it. So they're attacking what God has ordained if they're attacking marriage. It's worthy of thanks. Both these were created by God to be shared with thanksgiving. They're made for us. He didn't intend them to be only for the unregenerate, of course, but for those who believe and know the truth. We believe and know the truth. I know of religious orders where they say, you can't marry. Really, why not? Paul tells us that the pastor can marry and it's a good thing for him. You know, he won't be lustful for women, so on and so on. And there were orders that would come through and said, no, you need to be celibate. But no, you can't marry. You know what that does, though, for celibacy? It always leads to perversion in every case. It's documented. And then we have forbidding certain meats. I could get off on this for a while, but he didn't intend that. If you remember Peter was shown that he could eat anything in Acts chapter 10. A sheet came down with every creature you could imagine on it. And the Lord said, Peter, kill and eat. And of course, Peter said, not so, Lord. You know, you don't say that to the Lord. Not so, Lord. But I've never eaten anything unclean. And the Lord is saying, it's not unclean. if you pray over it. It's been given to you by me. Thank me for it. Give thanks for it. Pray over it. I'll tell you what. I know everybody in here prays when they eat first. Everybody, right? They're going to start tomorrow. No, I know you guys do. I know you guys do. Anyways, Revelation 17, 12. It'd be good to go there. I think we're going to be in Revelation for a little while, but and I'll backtrack and go back again. But we read there, Revelation 7, 12. Think about this. And all the angels, picture this in your mind. All the angels stood around the throne. I picture this a lot. And I know it's nothing like it's really going to be. And about the elders, you know, and the elders were about two. And the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Now all these other created beings, they hear the worship that this great multitude brought to God. They're standing around the throne. And they even see more clearly the power and the wisdom and the majesty of God. And they can worship God the more by seeing the salvation that he brought to this great multitude. My point is that these other beings don't know salvation. They didn't have to be saved. And here they are watching this. And these people are worshiping for being saved. They can worship even more, these other beings, because of this salvation that he brought to this great multitude. They never knew salvation personally, but to see humans saved, they have to praise God and thank him for his mercy. Why? Because they realize these people don't deserve this. They don't deserve it. That's us. They don't deserve it. Now, of these nine occurrences, the Apostle Paul refers to thanksgiving toward God eight times. These nine occurrences we'll see at least. Thanksgiving toward God eight times, while John refers to it only once. So the Old Testament use of the word thanksgiving, in the majority of cases, it comes from the Hebrew word todah, which literally means it means the extension of the hand, like putting your hand out. Thanks. Putting your hand out, holding your hand out. The Hebrew dictionaries define this original language word as meaning confession, praise, or thanks made toward God, which can take the form of offering, praises, singing, hymns, and other songs, and so on. But in every New Testament case, the word comes from the Greek Eucharistia, where we get the word Eucharist from, Eucharistia, which is thanks. It means thanks and praise and adoration. You know, and we get the word Eucharist from it. It means gratitude. It means giving thanks or conveying gratefulness to God as an act of worship. So an excellent example of praising Almighty God and his manifold blessings is found again in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, as we just saw. But at that time, which is future, that John writes of here, we will have been raptured at this point where we're seeing. We're raptured at this point, which is an amazing thing in its own, isn't it? To give... Wow, we've escaped the tribulation. How thankful should we be of that? Think of that. That's an amazing thing, a tremendous reason for giving thanksgiving to the Lord. So again, that means escaping the tribulation. So then after that, this occurs here. After all those who are martyred in the great tribulation are brought before the throne, they're made to stand before God's throne. They're martyred during the tribulation, they're resurrected from the dead, and they're made to stand before God's throne. And I know they have no problem with that. So in Revelation 7, verse 9, John says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number. I love that. There's going to be a lot of people in heaven, you guys. Look at, of all nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands. I thought, we all have palms in our hands, don't we? And and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God. You guys, I know that when we see him like he is, it says we're going to be like him, but you know where we're not going to be like him? We're going to be face diving. I really believe it. When we see him, we're going to dive on our face, just in awe and humility. They fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God. And here's verse 12 again, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. We could spend a month on that verse, just looking at those things. But look at verse 13. And then one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in these white robes? And whence came they? Where did they come from? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. See, I believe there's going to be an immense revival during the tribulation. And if that isn't cause for thanks, I don't know what is, because all the knuckleheads that will be left behind that we've been preaching to for years, if strong delusion isn't poured out on them, they will get saved. And I believe that they're going to give their lives. You know, they're going to die for what they believe. They'll be martyred. Their robes will be made white in the blood of the Lamb. Anyways, after these righteous people shout, the salvation of our God has come, all the others in heaven, the righteous angels, the 24 spiritual elders, et cetera, they all bow before the Almighty and say, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength be to our God into the ages of eternity, forever and ever. I love that. Have you ever been asked what would be a good prayer to offer, maybe before you ate a meal or on a special holiday, maybe like Thanksgiving? You know, I was the one who prayed back when I was still invited to all the family things. I was the one, Jim, you pray, you know, and I would pray and I'd go off. I wasn't praying any ritual prayer like they did. I was praying from my heart. Back then, you know, at Thanksgiving dinner and all that. But you know what? We all know that all the other kinds of prayers, they should always be given from the heart, shouldn't they? It shouldn't be a prayer written on a card. It shouldn't be a memorized prayer. It should be from the heart. That's what it is. If I said to my wife the same exact 15 words every morning, that would get boring after a while, wouldn't it? Don't you think the Lord gets bored with a lot of people's prayers out there? He's probably up there going, man, it's the same thing he said to me. Yes. You just memorize it. Does it really mean anything to you? Anyway, I think about these things. We all know that the prayer should come from the heart. They shouldn't just be reciting something that's well-known or memorized, like the Lord's Prayer. I don't even believe it should be called the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is in John 17. This would be the disciples' prayer. You know, some people call it the Our Father. I don't even think that should be prayed word for word. It's a form to follow. Pray like this. You honor the Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, your heavenly Father. I mean, you go on from there. And it's a form of prayer to follow, to develop your thoughts and all that stuff like that. But anyway, a great suggestion for the prayer of thanksgiving would be first, acknowledging God as our righteous, loving Father. You know that. Next, it would be appropriate to thank him, maybe if you're sitting down tomorrow, graciously allowing us to even have a relationship with him. Now, I don't know if you're going to be sitting before unsaved relatives and everything. I used to have to do that. You know, and if you look up, they're like looking at each other and, you know, mocking you out and ignore it. But we need to thank him for having a relationship with him. Maybe for bringing everybody there that's at this meal, bringing them there safely together in attendance for this Thanksgiving meal. Then this could be followed by thanking him for all our blessings, including the meal that will be eaten tomorrow. Any Thanksgiving prayer should be closed in Jesus' name. Now, I want to read this from John 16, verse 23 through 26. In Jesus' name. It means so much more when you think of it from the aspect of thanks. I'll read it. Listen to this. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. When we're with him, we'll be with him. We will have no need for anything. But he says, verily, verily, I say unto you for now, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask ye, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak to you in proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father loves us. The Father, what he's saying, the Father himself loves you. So Jesus actually makes it clear here that the Son isn't persuading an angry Father to listen to us. That's not it. But his work, he's saying, if you pray in my name, I'm the one who did the work. You're praying in my name, and I'm giving you the ability to pray. Use my name, and the Father will hear you. In other words, how thankful should we be for that? That we can drop his name and we get credit for it. You know what I'm saying? It's not a magical potion either. I'm just saying. But his work, Jesus' work on our behalf, it provides a righteous basis for God's graciousness. I'll get it right sooner or later. Now, if that doesn't inspire thanks, then you don't get it. You know what I mean? He's saying too, Father, they are mine, so they are yours. I like that. You belong to Jesus. If you belong to Jesus, you belong to the Father. That's what he's saying too. Wow. Jesus is so worthy of our thanks. Other examples of thanksgiving to God that we could look at for study in the Bible here, or giving thanks to the Lord, can be found in the Song of Moses, Exodus 15. If you remember, it wasn't that long ago we were there. That whole song, Moses is singing thanks and praise to God. The whole thing. Exodus 15. The whole thing is praise and thanks. Psalm 100, verse 4, it says this. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Is that you? How about this should be you when you enter into his courts in the morning, you're in your morning devotions, or you even come here. This psalm tells us to remember God's goodness and dependability, and then to worship with thanksgiving and praise. Psalm 103, if you read it, you'll just start thanking God. You will. You will. Psalm 103, just read it. You'll thank God before you even know it, because redemption will always be one of the sweetest notes in any song or prayer you sing or say to him. Think about it. In our grateful song. And really, glory be to this great substitute. Think about that. He has delivered us from going down into the pit by giving himself to be our ransom. You know, thank you, Jesus. Psalm 106, the first line says, praise ye the Lord, which means hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord, hallelujah. Hallelujah is also the last word of Psalm 106, too. It goes on, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Boy, sit down before the Lord and think of all the times he's forgiven you because of his great mercy. You'd have to be thankful for that. His mercy endures forever. So these attributes of God are especially praiseworthy and extremely worthy of thanks too, considering who the psalmist is who wrote this. David wrote this. David has a concept of what mercy is truly like, doesn't he? Great guy, God's heart and the whole thing, but think of what he'd been forgiven of. Adultery and murder and lying. I mean, wow. So it's extreme. How praiseworthy God is when you consider who wrote this. When you also consider Israel's historic recurring sin pattern. Wow, you know. So in Psalm 107, the first line says the same thing. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. In Luke 1, verses 46 through about 55 or so, Mary, the Virgin Mary, she's praising God for all of his marvelous benefits. It's a great section to read. But she thanks God for the Lord, her Savior. Remember that. Sinners need a Savior. Okay. Oh, you mean Mary was a sinner? Yeah. You know? But she was thanking God for all these benefits and his marvelous benefits. So our praise should be full of thanks like hers, right? How about Luke 2:13, the shepherds witnessed the angels praising God. Can you picture this? You're sitting there watching your sheep, and angels start flying overhead, hundreds of them, and they're praising God. I mean, wow. Thanking God. The Messiah has come. So think of all the things we really need to be thankful for. Man, I was getting blown away this week. The Messiah has come. Read Romans 11:33 and see if you don't praise him. It says this. Listen to this. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. It's, guys, that's just so packed, full of stuff to meditate on. It's of him, it's through him, it's for him, all of it. We owe everything to him. He's infinite, yet he wants us to know him. You ever think of that? He is infinite. We will never know everything about him. It's going to take eternity to get to know him more and more and more, and we'll never get to the bottom of it. And he wants to know us. I find that very praiseworthy and thanksworthy. He wants to know us. Listen to John in Revelation 5, verses 8 through 14. Listen to this. And when he, that would be the Lamb, had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us, listen to this, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests. Wow, that's us. And we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, which literally means millions and millions. It's a lot anyway, right? Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all them that are in them, I heard saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever. So this is gratefulness. This is thanksgiving on a massive scale, isn't it? If they're doing this, who are we not to? You know? Wow. This is I want to go to this Thanksgiving celebration right here. Thanksgiving to our great Father should be offered every time we pray. Every time. In Ephesians 5:20, Paul wrote that we should be full of the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, we're all around here praying Tuesday night, fill us with the Holy Spirit. We're praying that all the time. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So where the Holy Spirit rules, there's gratitude to God. You need to be born again. The Holy Spirit resides in you. You need to ask, fill me with the Holy Spirit, Lord. Bring the Holy Spirit down upon me. Anoint me. Baptize me. You will be thankful. Where the Holy Spirit resides, I mean, think about that. There is gratitude to God where he rules. And there's a deep sense of appreciation, and there's also a spontaneous expression of it. How many of you have done this? You just burst out thanking Jesus for, you know, it's spontaneous. Where the Holy Spirit is, He lights you up to the point that of God's grace and God's mercy, and you just want to thank Him and you want to praise Him. It should be spontaneous, shouldn't it? I think if you're really walking with the Lord, you're really tight with the Lord, you spontaneously express your joy, your gratitude, your love for Him. Man, it's not occasional, it's continual. Not only for the pleasant things, but for all things. All things. Anybody can be thankful in the sunshine. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit to be thankful in the middle of a storm. The storms of life. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. See, you're praying, you're supplicating, you're petitioning the Lord with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So giving thanks to God should be a Christian's native emotion. It should just become natural. It should be just something that it just happens. If Romans 8:28 is true, and we know this, and we know that all things work together for good for them that love God, that are called according to His purpose. If that is true, and we know it's true, then we should be able to praise the Lord at all times, in all circumstances, and in everything. Maybe not for every single thing, but in everything. Okay? In it. Maybe not for it, but in it. You have cancer. I wouldn't say, thank you, Lord, for giving me cancer, but I'm going to thank you for everything else while I have it. You know what I mean? Thank you in it. Thank you that you're going to deliver me out of it or whatever. You know, maybe not for every single thing, but in. So just as long as we're not excusing the sin, too, okay? We should always acknowledge our physical and spiritual blessings that we receive from His hand. Paul in Colossians 1:12 says, giving thanks unto the Father. Listen to this. This is great. Which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He's made us able, okay? He has made us meet to partake in the inheritance of the saints in light, or made able to share the light. In other words, we will also thank the Father who's made us able to share this light, which is what God's people inherit. 1 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4, we already saw it before, but it stresses thanking God for His loving care and His generosity towards us. And that's the central meaning of tomorrow's holiday. You know, I'm going to end, it's going to sound like a bummer, but I'm going to end on a good note. I just want to point some things out that America faces greater dangers and more threats maybe than ever right now today in the world. There's a lot of extremists who fanatically want to bring this nation down for various reasons. Just remember, you know, there's so many threats right now to they're committed to destruction of our country. I believe that our country's standing in the way of the one world order, okay? This one world global society. Many extremists are fanatically committed to destroying this country and the people. Rogue nations continue to threaten to engulf us. They invade our borders and they threaten us with, and the world, with a nuclear holocaust. You know, again, we're the ones in the way of this new world order, but the true terrorist is Satan. He's behind whatever you want to call them, whether you want to call them the deep state, whether you want to call them globalists, whether you want to call them Masons, Illuminati, the League of Rome, whatever you want to call them, all those that are manipulated by Satan to bring across his agenda. It's going on. It's happening, you know, in this country. He's the true terrorist. Our land is saturated with harmful chemicals. The food we eat is tainted. The water we drink is contaminated. The air we breathe is polluted. Violence and sex fill the TV. We know this. The music is demonic, and it's crude, and it's filthy. Pornography is a thriving mega-billion-dollar corporation that is like off the scale, you know? It's a thriving, disgusting business. Casinos and lotteries bring in millions of states that are struggling. The states are struggling today with decreased revenue, and they leave many of its citizens in destitution, like severe poverty, addiction, all of that. Many of them are homeless, and many of them are veterans. It's disgusting the way they treat our veterans. It's unbelievable. Crime and violence and lawlessness are on the increase and getting bolder and more brazen. Corruption and bribery in the halls of government. We know all this in the boardrooms of corporate America and the medical field too, and it's increasingly rampant. Immorality has filled our land, the United States. Divorce devastates families and poses a serious threat to unraveling the fabric of society. You know, I think it's running 50-50. Christian divorce is running at the same rate as them, the world. Why is that? I don't get that. But anyway, what's happened to this richest and most blessed nation, land? It's forgotten the source of its wealth. We need to tell people what this holiday is really all about. This is my point tonight. We need to tell them why we celebrate this. What's behind it? How good God is. Why should we give God? There's a zillion reasons why we should give thanks to God, is what I meant. But we've forgotten the source of all of our wealth, our blessings, our power, and our children. You know, I heard General Flynn the other day say we should stop calling the fetus in the womb unborn children. Call them children. See, the way they use words in the media, they're programming you to think another way. Unborn children. No, they are children. They're just not out of the womb yet. See what I'm saying? They put these words in there to get these ideas. Well, they're unborn. Yeah, but they're children. You know what I mean? So anyways, America's forgotten to acknowledge its protector and its shield. America's become an unthankful nation. Our great God, from whom this nation receives the abundance of all things, told his people this. Listen, because you did not serve, he told his people this. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything, therefore you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in need of everything. And he will put a yoke of iron on your neck till he has destroyed you. That's Deuteronomy 28, verses 47 and 48. We are under siege by a relentless assault of materialism and secularization, and the U.S. has really strayed far from the wholehearted attitude of thankfulness, obedience, and gratitude to God that was expressed by these early pilgrims. Really. President Theodore Roosevelt said this. He said, the things that will destroy America will be prosperity at any price, peace at any price, safety first instead of duty first, the love of soft living, and the get-rich-quick theory of life, which are all rampant today. So it's being destroyed. He was right. Today we're faced with an economic crisis unparalleled in its depth and its unparalleled in its severity. We're threatened by a misguided yet fanatical enemy bent on our destruction. And let's forget about the people. It's Satan. All right? It's a battle of light versus dark. As we gather with family and friends to celebrate this Thanksgiving Day tomorrow, wherever you are, with an abundance of food and an abundance of drink, think about that. You're doing something that 90% of the rest of the planet can't. Wow. Let's remember to turn to God, the same God who heard and granted the fervent prayers of those pilgrims back in 1621. Only he can deliver us if we turn to him and obey what he tells us to do in 2 Chronicles 7:14. And everybody knows this one by heart. So we're all going to say it together. No, I'm just kidding. but it's highlighted in your Bible. Do you believe this? Because I run into pastors who don't believe this is true. Listen, he says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Can we do that? We can do that. You know, we approach him with all the thanks we can muster. And then we get into his presence. And we, using his name, humble ourselves. We pray. We seek his face. We need to turn from our wicked ways. We do. He will hear us. And he will forgive us. And he will heal our land. And I know that when we really thank him, really, really thank him, he hears us. He listens. And 2 Chronicles 7:14 is a promise that I want to pray so that he hears, you know, so that he listens. So listen, I wrote this little note sitting there at my desk a little earlier. Just a couple things to think about and we're done. Don't give thanks to manipulate God. Having said what I said tonight, you can't butter him up. There are people who think this, though. Oh, okay. Jim says a secret formula is let's give God thanks and he'll give me it. No, you can't manipulate him by your thanks. It needs to be heartfelt. Don't give thanks with a prideful heart. You know, like, thanks, Lord, I deserve that. You know, something good. No, what you really deserve, you don't want to have. What we really deserve, we've been saved from. Don't give thanks in unbelief. You think about that one. Giving thanks in unbelief. You don't really believe it. Or you don't really believe he's going to do it. Or you meditate on that. Do give thanks in pain. Maybe not for the pain, but give him thanks when you're in pain. You know, there's still things to thank him for. Okay? Do give thanks in preparation for coming into God's presence. And then lastly, do give thanks for God's amazing power. Give thanks for who he is, you know, who he is, and you get to know him. Amen? Happy Thanksgiving, you guys. Let's stand and pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for creating us. We thank you, Lord, that we enjoy a walk with you. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for your sacrifice for us, Lord. Thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit. Thank you for giving us the instruction manual right here, Lord, the Word of God. Thank you for giving this to us, Lord. Thank you that you gave your life for us. Thank you, Lord, for heaven. Thank you, Lord, for the body of Christ. Thank you for the church. Thank you for our church family. Lord, thank you for our families. Thank you for our health. Thank you for mercy and grace and forgiveness, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we're going to be with you in eternity. And thank you, Lord, that you spared no cost in our salvation. Lord, we love you. We can't thank you enough. We thank you for the United States. So we've been able to live in this nation where it's, I guess it's free. Lord, we pray that it returns to its former greatness. Lord, we pray that, Lord, it stays a place that's free enough to worship Jesus, at least until you come back. Thank you, Lord, for the privileges we have in this country. Abundance of everything. And Lord, thank you for you. Thank you for these folks here tonight. Bless us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.